Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hi, my name is Elise Schuster-Frohman, and I am the founder and CEO of Mothership. Mothership is a talent marketplace that focuses on elite talent.
Elise, thanks so much for making time to join us on Ivy Podcast. Before we dive in and talk all of the great things you guys are building in Mothership, give us a thumbnail version of your career prior to that.
Thank you. Well, thumbnail is I studied in the Big Apple, went to school at FIT in NYC. That was a lot of fun. And from there, worked for a bunch of big corporations between New York and LA, all within the entertainment and media space, luxury, hospitality, and consumer products as well. And essentially, I pulled all of that under one roof and moved to Florida, where my family is. And I started my own creative agency. And that led to incubating Mothership. And that's what I run and focus all of my time on today.
Wow, that's super exciting and very diverse background. Thank you for sharing that. So tell us a little bit more about Mothership. What problem are you guys solving, and what are the different opportunities that you see in the market these days?
Well, Mothership, you know, was born out of just, you know, as I said, running an agency and just seeing that there was really just a lack of quality talent that was easily accessible to the client without having to go through a very big advertising agency, for example, or without having to go to other marketplaces that were really just delivering very subpar talent. So Mothership was really brought to life because of the lack of ease to, the lack of the client to connect with that kind of talent, and the lack of, you know, the availability of that talent to be able to connect with the client as well. So it's really about that direct connection between these amazing, highly skilled individuals and these amazing clients that they would love to be able to access on their own without an intermediary in the way.
Yeah, that's very interesting and relatable on so many levels. With the past couple of years, we've seen the market going in all different directions when it comes to talent retention, talent attraction. So as you partner with organizations of various size, what do you observe in terms of organizations that are maybe a little bit more successful than the others, being able to attract the top talent to their teams in this highly competitive market?
So the question is, what do I observe as far as how are they doing it, or is there a need?
What are the different best practices they had implemented? What are the practical recommendations that maybe you provide to your clients when it comes to you know, being able to attract very niche and highly demand talent?
Yeah, I mean, that's where Mothership really comes in, you know, because it's not on the onus of the client anymore, and it's not on the onus of the provider anymore. And so there's really a lot of nuance that happens in the middle of all of that, where it's about really getting to know what the client wants and needs, being able to understand that in a way that's practical and that's implementable. And then in the same token, having that same kind of insight on the provider side, you know, what, you know, getting to know them, nurturing that community, really getting to know what they want and what they need. And again, being able to understand and implement that. And then being able to really, you know, make that very nuanced match in the middle to say, okay, I know that John is going to do great with Sarah. And there's a lot that goes into that. And so that middle body, we are that one middle body, and that middle body is really there to assist both sides so that the provider doesn't have to go into sales mode and that the client also doesn't have to go into recruiter mode. And so we really try to cover both of those bases for them, give them back their time, give them back their money, and give them back their sanity, right? And really just give them great work and a great lifestyle at the same time.
Right. Absolutely. Those are definitely very interesting observations. And so as a founder and the operator of a platform geared towards, talent acquisition, talent attraction and retention, what are the different trends that you mostly excited about as you research the current state of the market, just looking into Elise's crystal ball through the next couple of years? What are some of the predictions? What are some of the trends that you personally very excited about in this space?
Well, I'm excited about so many things. Some of them I can't share here today. Some of them I have to keep in our back pocket. But look, I'm excited about so much. It's a moving space, and there is so much. You know, what I've always been excited about in this space is the convergence. The convergence, as you can see, happening between, you know, recruiting agencies and technology platforms, you know, marketplaces, all the way through to payment processing companies, for example, insurance companies. I think that the whole movement of this becoming the normalized way of work is really interesting. And all the convergence that has to come together in order to just make that part of the process happen is extremely exciting. And then from there, there's so many more other bells and whistles that could be added to the entire organization, to the whole opportunity across the board. So I think it's a great opportunity for everybody to innovate, to level up, and for everybody to get more value on all sides, right? You know, the providers are getting more value than ever. They're highly coveted. They've got options and options on options, right? And then you've got clients who have the same thing. They're also getting, you know, a lot of different options. And I just think that's really what's you know, super exciting, is the innovation and the convergence.
Understood. Yeah, definitely. Thank you for sharing that. On the other side of the spectrum, as a growing organization, as a fast-moving startup, I would imagine for you as an executive, surrounding yourself with top talent remains a top priority, probably 24/7, whether you're actively recruiting or not. What are some of the strategies that you have personally deployed at your company, at Mothership, that really provided you with creative ways to attract and retain the top talent at your organization in this highly competitive environment?
Yeah, you know, I think it comes down to so many things when it comes down to talent. You know, there has to be a fit, there has to be a connection, right? And so what I've found is, you know, most of the people that we work with, that we recruit, they have a real connection to me, to the business, to our overall mission, and to all the kinds of, you know, services and products that we offer them. So I think that first and foremost, and then, you know, they might not have a connection to a certain extent. They might be connected with another marketplace or another platform. So I think it's really about that connection. You know, where do people feel comfortable? Where do they feel seen and heard? Who do they resonate with on a brand level? Who do they resonate with as far as what kind of clientele are we bringing them? And so all of that, the fact that we have these very big brand clients, these, you know, high tier clients, is a great thing for anyone that we're attracting. And at the same time, it's also about how we connect and interact and nurture those talents as well.
Right. Absolutely. Through the past couple of years, we've seen a great emergence of the freelance communities, contingent workers, gig workers. There's different labels. What are the different opportunities that you see in that particular segment of the audience? And how can organizations really leverage, engaging such type of talent, for their hiring needs?
Mothership is what I would like to say, you know, of course. Talent marketplaces, I think, you know, I look at Mothership as the go-to solution, because we're not just one way or the other. You know, we offer contract 1099 talent, we offer W-2 contract talent, and we also do full-time W-2 staffing as well. So instead of having thousands of clients on your roster, you really only need to have one, two, three, or, you know, maybe just one is really what, you know, what would be great, right? If they just only needed one. Not saying that that one can't have partners, not saying that, you know, that just cuts so many people out of the market. There's a way to do it, but it's about still not having to manage thousands of solutions, thousands of vendors. I think that becomes unmanageable. And again, going back to that convergence solution for clients. And I think the more that they have that convergence solution, it's going to be an easy plug and play for them. It's an easy way of doing business for them. It's an easy way of hiring. And it's an easy way of managing, vendor programs.
So to take that a little bit further, do you see more opportunity in specialized marketplaces that are very niche, that may be going to very specific areas, or more on the generalized side where a large platform can provide a talent of any caliber for any type of industry? What are some of the advantages and disadvantages that you observe in that space?
Thanks. Yes, I'm sure everyone's noticed I'm definitely not a niche player, right? And I've done that on purpose, and not to disrespect anybody that's doing anything on a niche level, because there's a lot of value to that as well. But, you know, from where I sit, I really feel that, again, when you go niche, you start to fragment. you start to get away from convergence. And then I think it starts to cause more complication than the simplicity it's supposed to solve for. And right. So, you know, at Mothership, we're industry agnostic. We, you know, staff and hire across, you know, various verticals, creative and professional spectrum. We stop nowhere. And so therefore our clients have zero roadblocks, only green lights. And that's the way we like to do it here.
Absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense. And there's specific needs, specific, you know, use cases for every different organization. So that makes total sense.
Yeah.
The other area that I love to talk about with every guest on Ivy Podcast is around interviewing, because it's an art and a science. And I've been on all different sides of the equation of the interview as a hiring manager, as a candidate, and also part of the staffing organization. So I've observed different strategies. But for the most part, it seems that there's a lot of emphasis on what are the weaknesses that I can tolerate in that particular candidate versus understanding or highlighting the strengths that are missing on our team and seeing if that particular candidate can fill that void. What are your thoughts, or what are your recommendations for just overall improving the interview experience? How can you set the right expectations and make sure that the experience is valuable for both sides?
Yeah, again, you know, I think that really comes down to having, you know, well, EQ, I think, is a very important thing, right? So I think just having that emotional intelligence part of an interview is so important, because it's not just about business. It's also about, you know, you're dealing with a person, and this person is a living, breathing individual who has a family. They might not, or they might have their own sort of nuances that they're coming to the table with. And so I think it's really about, you know, having an emotional intelligence factor so that it's not just this hard hitting kind of business interview, because that's just going to get you one side of the equation. It's only going to give you a certain part of the picture. And really, I think in order to make a proper hiring decision and a proper match, I think it's really important to get to know people from a 360 degree standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. And it's also, you know, from personal experience, it's more of a creating that two-way street of a conversation between the hiring manager and the candidate, and provide the candidate with an opportunity to ask all the right questions so that they can also make the right determination. If this is the right leader that I can grow under, if this is the right environment for me to thrive in. So a lot of things kind of relate to what you're talking about as well.
That's so huge. I'm so glad you touched on that. I actually had someone the other day that I interviewed, and, you know, she went right into interviewing me first. and you know, of course there was the thought of, hey, who's interviewing who here, right? But it really was great the way that it happened. It's the way it should be. And it should definitely be a two-way street. I agree with you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a great example.
Yeah.
To double click on that a little bit further, and maybe through some of your work that you see with other clients and the candidates maybe on that are on your marketplace, when it comes to onboarding, it's such a complicated, complex space. And when you add another layer of complexity doing that virtually, that becomes even more challenging. What are some of the recommendations, or maybe, you know, the practical strategies that you share with your clients when it comes to improving that onboarding, especially in a virtual space?
Yeah, well, we do all of that for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we do with our clients is we take it completely off their backs, and we say, you know what, this is not a great use of your time. This is not, you know, you know, for us, it's called simple get the job done bliss. Uh-huh. And so, so the way that we handle that is we take care of it. We do the vetting, we do the onboarding, we go through, you know, that whole process, and we jump through all the hoops that we need to jump through in order to get that candidate onboarded and compliant.
Yeah.
And the client just hires them. That's it.
So I guess to move that a little bit further, once all of that, I guess, the administrative quote unquote part is done, and the candidate is ready to start their first day at the organization, and the company is operating in the fully virtual capacity, what are some of the things that organizations can do to maximize that experience for the worker to start on their day one?
Well, I think leveraging Mothership HQ, for example, leveraging their hiring manager, I think is a great thing. You know, I think that the hiring manager is the first point of reference for the talent. And so I think definitely, you know, having a hiring manager be more of a partner in the process, I think could be really great for the clients to really say, look, you know, it's not just about them all on their own. It's really about working in this partnership in tandem with the hiring manager, who was really instrumental in, you know, bringing that person to the table and could be instrumental beyond that point, right? To help with retention and the overall engagement. And so I think just working as a team is always my favorite thing to do, because, and I think that's just a great example of just working as a team with your hiring manager and not just feeling like it has to be all on your back, because they have a lot of intel and they have a lot of expertise, and leveraging it, I think, is a very smart strategy on a client's part.
As a technology, as a platform, as a marketplace, the need for continuous innovation, I would imagine that's also one of the key strategic initiatives on an ongoing basis for you as a startup, as a company. Just building that culture of innovation from the very beginning, what are some of the strategies that you had deployed that really help you build that culture of innovation, culture of experimentation? Maybe share some thoughts around that.
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate to live in markets that were quite cutting edge, you know, coming from, you know, 11 years in New York and a few years in LA. I was a little bit in Europe. I'm from South Africa, so I've got an international background and perspective. And I think that helps me to have a much bigger worldview on things. And so I think, you know, just having, you know, getting out of our microcosm into something that's bigger than ourselves, I think can always help to expand our consciousness and expand our overall, you know, thought process. So I think innovation for me has come as, you know, inspiration from many different experiences in my life. And so I think having experiences helps us to all grow in the right direction. So I hope that answered your question. But
yes, no, absolutely. It definitely does. It definitely does. Thank you for sharing that. In terms of your content diet, what are the different resources that you consume on a daily basis that really helps you stay educated, stay informed on all of the things that are going on in your industry or maybe even outside of that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I haven't had a lot of time to read too much lately, but I love to listen to audiobooks and, you know, I love listening to, you know, wellness books. I also love to listen to books about business. So, so definitely reading is a big one. And talking to people, you know, I get most of my information from people, because I don't trust authors as much as I should. I always feel like, you know, anyone who writes a book is probably writing it from a certain agenda standpoint, right? And so you hope that they're not, but you don't always know. And so I always find that speaking to people is kind of that nice barometer between, you know, trusting the author 100% and having a little bit of a intermediary that's actually read the book and has maybe their own take on things.
Right. Absolutely. It's powerful yet oftentimes underrated or overlooked resource. Yeah. For a lot of us. So definitely thank you for sharing that. In terms of kind of maybe a career advice or series of advice that you had received early on in your career that you continuously refer back to even these days and maybe shared with others that you mentor or maybe those who are working, you know, working at your organization. What are some of the, I guess, the series of recommendations that you can provide?
That's a big one. You know, I've had a lot of advice along the way, and there's so many. You know, look, I think that to me, hard work pays off, right? And that's something that I've always kind of looked at for myself. Or for instance, my dad would always say that there's no easy way to make money. And if it's easy or too easy, then sometimes it's too good to be true. And there's also the opposite side of that, where it shouldn't be too hard either, right? Because some things really have a flow and they either move or they don't. But I think the value of hard work has always been great advice that I've received. And it stood me in pretty good stead. So I've always been a hard worker. And then, you know, finding work-life balance has also been great advice. So I've got great advice too about great work hard, but, you know, make sure that you also enjoy the ride. And I think enjoying the ride and enjoying that journey is so, so, so important.
I love it. Short and sweet and straight to the point. Very powerful. Thank you for sharing that. Elise, I can't thank you enough for your time today. It was very short and insightful conversation. I personally learned quite a bit. what I love doing with all the guests on Ivy Podcast is do a follow-up recording in about a year where we revisit the conversation from a year ago and see if everything we've discussed still makes sense, still applies. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that with you as well.
Look forward, Jan. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.